Today's program has been brought to you by Underground Meats, an American producer of handcrafted salami and cured meats in Madison, Wisconsin. For more information, visit shop.undergroundfoodcollective.org or stop by their butcher shop in Madison, Wisconsin. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right. Ben, are you there?
I am here.
All
We're
right.
We're going to talk about tomatoes this week.
Awesome. One of my favorite fruits.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk a little bit about our love-hate relationship with them.
Uh-oh. Hey, who could hate a tomato?
You hate the growing and the planting. So, yeah, so we just brought out about 2,400 tomatoes this year, and they're basically all outside, and that's always a job well done. They've gone into the past month. A little bit later than typical, but it's been a later summer than usual, so everything's going fine. But they are a lot of work, for the yields that you get off of them. There's a lot of staking, there's a lot of pruning. There's a lot of doubting over them and also a little bit of stress, too, because they are so prone to different diseases and funguses and leaf spots and molds and blossom drops and all these different problems affect tomatoes. However, at the end of the day, they're a strong plant. They're like a weed, and it's really tough to kill them, but it's easy to get them sick, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They get a lot of problems, but nothing fully takes them down. Put it that way. So I wanted to talk first of all about desuckering, because it's a question that we get all the time. The questions are, do you desucker, how many times, or for how long, until what date? And unfortunately, the answers are basically, it depends, it depends, it depends, to each one of those questions. But first, just to envision what a sucker is, and sorry for folks that don't know, but you can Google it, hopefully, if you're near a computer. Otherwise, stay posted for our first video session. But it is a stem that basically grows underneath. It comes out of the main stem of the tomato plant, and it basically grows underneath another one. And it does fruit and flower. So it produces tomatoes. So it is a bit counterintuitive that it's very common to desucker or cut off these suckers. Why? Would be the next question. Because it decreases the total size of the plant and the yield a little bit, but it has other benefits that come with it. It reduces the chances of many of those diseases that I was hinting at, the funguses, the molds on the leaves, etc. It also allows more airflow. And then also, if you cut off some of the branches that will produce fruit down the road and allow the tomato plant to continue getting stronger and maybe more vertical or more hardy, then when you do allow them to grow and fruit, and some inevitably always do, obviously, then sometimes the size and the quality is increased of what does come in. So, kind of looking at our farm, we do a little bit of desuckering, but kind of going back to the whole time in motion and the economics of farming, we've decided that it's not worth being super, super, obsessive with it. Because at some point you definitely do start getting a limited return to the amount of time you put in. So we put a few passes through, and then usually around a little after the solstice, like the end of June or early July, then we quit and we just let the plant do its thing. However, even more importantly is to clip the lower branches. That is one thing that we're a little bit more tedious about, is make sure that the low branches are out of the soil. And we were reminded of that necessity yesterday, believe it or not, even in a place where the branches were off the soil. We don't have tomatoes that have branches in the soil much right now. As they get super big and bushy, it becomes more of an issue. But we got Septoria, which is a leaf spot. It's a fungus. And the crazy thing is, we got them at the Navy Yard, and the crazy thing is Matt said he was looking at them 2 days ago on Monday, or 2 days before we found it yesterday, and just commenting on how picture perfect and beautiful all the leaves were. And if you went through yesterday, you would have seen dozens and dozens of plants that had all these little freckles and spots on them. And it's a leaf spot, it's a fungus, and it's called Septoria, and it does spread. So there comes in that element I was talking about with the stress, and also kind of ruins your day. You might have other things planned for today, but all of a sudden, all right, we got to deal with this leaf spot.
Yeah, that's happening kind of in the moment.
Yeah, and it spreads very quickly. You can maybe guess what causes it. It's caused by something that usually lives in the soil or in particles that are in the soil, and they can overwinter and survive in it for about 3 years. But they thrive and they multiply very aggressively in cold and wet temperatures. And obviously we've had a very cool, well, seasonably cold and very wet spring. So it's like all the weather we've been having lately, you know, that created like this super welcome environment for it to start thriving.
Awesome.
So, yeah?
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, so I was just going to real quickly address the treatments that we have for it, too, just to kind of round it out. What do we do? And people can look for this in their home gardens, too. I thought this was very applicable to, you know, a lot of people might have little backyard operations or fireboxes on the fire escapes and things like that. So in case it affects people that are listening as well. But you can remove infected leaves. You definitely want to get them off the plant because they're going to keep on spreading and they're not really going to come back. And this early, like just the day before the solstice or whatever, you know, you still do have plenty of time for the plants to produce more growth if they do beat the disease. And then also just pray for warm, dry days because that will dry up and not provide an environment for that fungus to keep on spreading rapidly. And then also we spray with a little bit of copper and potentially with a little bit of sulfur, which are they have antifungal properties. But they're a little bit better for preventative measure. They're, you know, they're organic treatments, so they're not like the end-all cure, and they're more applicable for preventative. So what really we're doing is rushing to get some of that on the leaves as sort of a protective coat on the plants that are not yet affected.
And then you know, kind of hurry up and wait.
And then hurry up and wait, and don't get too stressed. Keep on taking care of other things. Don't let the tomatoes run your life.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for taking a little time out and giving us some of the real story behind the tomato worries, and we look forward to keeping up with how your ladies do throughout the year.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to stay posted on them, and I'll talk about some of the other diseases that come up in the next couple months, too, and then hopefully the harvest.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Bye-bye.
If you are interested in finding more about the work they do over at the Brooklyn Grange, definitely check them out at www.brooklyngrangefarm.com. You can get info on volunteering, sign up for CSA shares, and find out other ways to participate in the awesome stuff happening over in the rooftops of Brooklyn and Queens. Stay tuned. Up next, we've got the Farm Report.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.